Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and I am joined by my cohort, my colleague, my partner in crime, my brother from another mother, the host who doesn't like toast, the breaker of chains, the mother of dogs or something. I don't know. I was going for a very long introduction for you, Mr. Brian E. Roach. What's up, Brian?
I'm actually fine with all of those as long as you're spelling mother, M-O-T-H-A, ooh, and not mother.
Ooh. Yeah, how about that? That's like a Samuel L. Jackson kind of thing, isn't it? Like,
yes.
Without the rest
exactly.
of it.
Exactly. There you go.
Because we're PG.
Then I'm
right.
fine.
Yeah. Hey, they have a new Shaft movie
how you
coming
doing?
Out, by the way. Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. So, except for the fact of now I got to find some things to watch on TV because, you know what, Veep closed out the week before. I was a big fan of that show. I think it's just funny because, it's crazy. A lot of it's improv. Game of Thrones is over with. Avengers Endgame is over with. John Wick 3 is already out, and I saw that. So, like, now I'm in the point where I don't know what to do. So, you know, we're talking a little extra pop culture here, and the reason I wanted to bring this up too was, you know, some people are like, stick to football, get right to the football, get right to the point, football, football, football. And I'm like, you know, we wanted to pose the question to the listeners out there if they wanted to like shoot us some questions. You know, we got the fan mail at steelcityunderground.com. We always have the Twitters and the Facebook pages and everything else that you could follow. But I was curious about on the podcast, you know, sometimes I go on Twitter and I'm like, ask me some random questions. If you want to hear some random things from me or Brian or whatever, just we ask that you leave like, you know, some of the hot button stuff out, like basically, you know, religion and politics. Just leave those out of there. And if you want to ask us stuff about some movies or stuff, we might throw that in here because, you know what, there's not a whole lot of football to talk about. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger took a bunch of the guys over to his lake cabin or house or whatever that he has, and everyone made a big deal of it. Oh, look, he's bonding. Finally, you know, he's like 37, 38, he's bonding, and it's like he's done this like every year, you know what I mean? So we want to know if you want to bond with us too, essentially.
That would be lovely. We love all the commentary. Hey, you know, look, here's a little pop culture thing for you I got. That actually has to do with music. And I was talking to our stalwart contributor, genius in resident, and a beauteous provocateur, Tina Rivers.
Oh, I'm like, where are you going with this? This isn't me.
Yeah. No, it's not you. And, you know, she was talking to me about music, and she let me know that, you know, the Steelers – play Renegade. We all know that, right? We're hip with Renegade. It's lit and all that crap. I'm not going to try and do that again. Anyway, they play that as a pump-up song, you know, to get them all stoked. And she said she had heard in the news that the Patriots were going to institute a new hype song for the season.
I can't wait to hear this.
It's, you know, Billy Squire, Stroke Me.
Oh, wow. Okay. You know what really does annoy me, though? And I haven't been to Gillette for a game. Yeah, but you need me to be like the Paul Schaefer or David Letterman or, you know, whoever else there is there. Yes, thank you, thank you. Yeah. So for anybody who gets that, that's already a dated reference too. Or maybe I could be the Ed McMahon to your Johnny Carson there, Mr. Karnak, is it the Magnificent or the Great? I don't know. I was very young at that point, so a very vague memory of it. But anyway, yeah, you know, the Patriots kind of destroyed a song for me. It was the Bon Jovi "Living on a Prayer." You ever hear that like playing? Like you could sometimes hear "Renegade" after a commercial break, depending on if they're ready to go back to snapping the football, starting to play clock, and all that jazz. Well, the Patriots being on TV a lot or having played them a lot over the years, I know that's like one of their songs. And then it just, that kind of annoys me. I don't know that the Browns really have a pump up song, having gone to some of those games. they try and throw everything, you know, in the kitchen sink at everybody. They have like three different mascots. At one point they had the elf, the brownie, the brown. Then they have the dog. I don't know where the dog comes in, but they have the dog too. And then they also have a real dog. So they have a mascot, fake dog, like a human in a suit with the head. And then they had a real one. I don't know if they still have the real one. So it's like, they try everything. They have everything short of cheerleaders. So, you know, maybe they have cheerleaders now. I don't know. You know, they were one of the few teams I know, I think, for a while that didn't. I know the Steelers don't. I'm glad they don't. The band that they have kind of grew on me, but at first I didn't really like the Steel Line thing. No offense to the Steel Line people. I just didn't. It didn't have a fit. You know, the Redskins have always had that sort of thing. The Cincinnati Bengals have this real, like, cheesy, real old-timey song that sounds like, you know, the big band type thing. And it's like the Cincinnati Bengals. And then it's like, you know, and I roll my eyes at it because, you know, they make me vomit seeing anything with their team on it. So, hey, yeah. I'm sorry. It's a Steelers show. You know, if you come in the comment section and you say, this effing channel sucks, I will delete it. But if you just say the channel sucks, I'll probably leave it there and give you a thumbs down. So anyway, I think we have some things that besides pump up songs, and Renegade actually came about by accident, I believe, and just kind of caught on from Heinz Field. It's not too long ago that's become a tradition, and now it is. And if you're ever so lucky to go to a game where you know, they're kicking butt or they need it, they play it twice, which is a rare occurrence. It's happened a couple of times. Then there's been games where they don't play it at all because, you know, they've, you know, got their pants, you know, handed to them. So anyway, we do have another position breakdown to talk about today, besides just the general stuff. I was going to ask you about breakfast food, Brian, but I'm going to leave that in the toast thing. We'll leave that for the next time since we've already kind of dovetailed so far into entrance music or theme music or hype music or whatever else. We want to talk about running backs today, and we kind of touched on this in the Pet Peeves show, but, you know, this is one of the things where a lot of people are very excited about this running back group. A lot of people aren't as excited about the running back group, too, because, you know, there's still that, well, Le'Veon Bell left. Well, he didn't play last year. He sat out all of last year. This time last year, we were talking about whether or not they would get a deal done, and then, you know, we get into June, and there you're past the deadline, and then it's like you had to keep repeating to people even through October and November that – no, they had to do it by June, whatever it was, 14th or something like that. I don't remember the exact date. And people were still like, pay the man. And, no, they can't. He has to sign the franchise tag or he's sitting out. And he ended up sitting out. And we hear all these things back and forth. We see that he was actually kind of supportive of James Conner, which is cool. You know, I still think the way he kept to himself and he wasn't out there in public. At least he wasn't so much out there in public, like, you know, Mr. Big Checks. But still, when you see him on a jet ski, what was that, like week one or whatever, and he, you know, he's kind of taunting people online, and you're just, everybody's like, pay the man. And then we saw what life was like without Le'Veon Bell. We also found out that he went to the Jets, and for a substantially less contract than what was reportedly offered by the Steelers the year before any franchise tag thing. He was going to reset the market. Now all of a sudden it's like, you know, speaking of that, the Jets are a dumpster fire. They got rid of their GM, and now they're talking about how Adam Gase, their head coach, is like their interim GM or whatever right now, and he didn't even want him. He didn't even want to sign him, and that was like the one team in free agency where, you remember, they drew the line in the sand back in March. They said, you know what, you need to sign this by tonight or it's off the table. And it, all of a sudden he became a Jet. It almost sounded like there was no other offers out there. Now there's potential. They're talking about trading. And I just want to throw this out there. This isn't to, like, you know, complain about Bell. We already know he lost up to a potential of $19 million by sitting out last year. Whether or not that pays off for him as having a longer career, keeping his body fresh, or whatever be the case. And he hasn't showed up for the offseason workouts either, right? So there's definitely, there was smoke, there's fire there.
Nope. But big surprise there.
Cannot bring him back. Please do not talk about it. Just stop. Even the deal that the Jets gave him, the Steelers do not have the cap space to do anything. And they have a number of young men on this team that we're going to be talking about here in a few minutes that it's just, why? There's no need to go backwards here. And we're going to be talking about that too, because if you were to bring Bell back, but let's just say the money was not an object and you could do whatever and they could bring him back, what would you do with somebody like a James Conner? So the ship sailed. The ship sailed last year, and the Steelers have since they moved on a year ago, and they're continuing to move on. This would be like driving cross country to, I don't know, from like New York to California, and you're in Iowa, and you're like, whoops, I forgot something back at home in New York. We need to go back and do it. Nope, they're on their way. They're gone, and Bell is in the rear view.
Yeah, look, the only the comparison between Bell and Antonio Brown, I get it. But the only real problem I have with Le'Veon Bell acting out the way he decided to take his career is the disingenuous commentary about when he was going to show up. And I'm hesitating only – you know what? I'm not going to hesitate. He lied. He lied about when he was going to come to camp. He lied about whether he was going to come to camp. He lied about when he was going to show up for the season. And I get it. Things change. But you know what? When you make a commitment to your teammates, you honor that commitment. And if he told them one thing and then did another, that's the only thing about what his decision-making process was that I disagree with from the basis of last year. I think he's a moron for not signing the contracts that year and the year before. And I said that as such, even, you know, all the times we talked about it, I said, he's not going to get this money when he comes back. And guess what? He didn't. And we all said, the only way he does is if one dumb team does something dumb. The Jets tried, and even then he didn't get the money he was going to get from the Steelers. So, hey, it is what it is. He's gone. I ain't mad at him for being gone. Go ahead and be gone. I give him props for, you know, being supportive of James Conner when James Conner was being successful. That's cool. I like it. It's much better than a certain spoiled brat with large checks.
Well, you know what? And when you frame it that way, the only other thing that really upsets me was the I want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler for life type of deal during the contract negotiation type stuff. And that's the stuff that irritates the fan base, because it, like you said, it's disingenuous. It's tongue in cheek. It's not, you know, entirely being honest. It's like, you know, it's the old, you know, if your mother used to say, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. Then just don't say anything. You know what I mean? My bigger problem with, and I don't mean to bring up, you know, AB once again, but he's under contract. You know what I mean? This is Le'Veon Bell, and this is like a player's recourse to set out, make a stand, ask for more money, do whatever. And multiple players have done this, and this is really the only thing that they have in their corner. It's the 1 year. It's a 1 year deal. I get it. You could get hurt. You're a running back. You've been hurt, higher propensity of getting hurt. This isn't like a linebacker or something. Aaron Donald did this. You know what I mean? Aaron Donald was sitting out last year. I mean, this isn't like unheard of. Rod Woodson, you know, has done it, and it wasn't like a franchise tag type thing, but it's a set out of camp type thing and just, you know, working on the contract and just, you know, it's the only way you could really hold the team's feet to your fire to get a little more what you feel you deserve. And, you know, there's give and take both that way. If you're a star player and you're making the Pittsburgh Steelers a lot of money in return, you should too probably get a little piece of that pie. So I'll leave it at that. I mean, it's like, I didn't mean to go into this when talking about running backs, but more or less my point was, is that he's getting paid a lot of money by the Jets. And now you're hearing he may be available again. He's not coming back to Pittsburgh. If he wanted to come back to Pittsburgh, he had that option multiple times before. So who's to say he would even want to do that? He may have some serious regrets right now. We don't know either way. And he's trying to play it calm and cool right now. And what else can you do? At least here's the one thing. If he didn't end up playing for the Jets, they still have some type of guaranteed money that they threw at him. And it's like, okay, maybe this guy gets to sit out of football for another few years, never play again, and get paid a lot of money. Maybe he does look like a genius. So who's to say where this story is going to end up? But the reason about the whole Bell thing is that people were still talking about Pittsburgh Steelers' needs in the offseason this year. And you look over the last several years, and one of the topics we're going to talk about here is running back by committee. And it hasn't really been the Steelers' kind of forte, and we're going to go into some numbers with Bell and players like that over the past several years, maybe even this whole decade, or going back to even Jerome Bettis and, you know, hit the twilight of his career, that it's really not been the Steelers' MO, though they have done it, you know. So we're going to cover that, but we're going to talk about the individuals here, because I couldn't figure out why some of the talking heads on TV were so gung-ho on Steelers need a running back, Steelers need a running back. We all felt they would address running back one way or another, whether that was a veteran or somebody that they liked in the draft. It seemed like, you know, it wasn't even like an impossibility, because they had 10 picks going into the draft this year. You look at the positions and what they could load up on. You could double dip on a few things, but you see where James Conner is. You see where Jalen Samuels was as his backup capable. And then you see, well, there's another hole there, and you don't like to think about, because this has happened over the years, you get into a position where you don't have your running backs, your starter, or your plan B, even in some cases. And, well, let's talk about that, because Bell's been suspended. Bell's been injured. And in his place, and for all the great stuff he's done in a black and gold jersey, you had to have somebody there. And the first plan B was LeGarrette Blount. And LeGarrette Blount cried his way out of town because he wasn't getting enough carries or whatever. And that's kind of where we're going with this, with James Conner, and seeing, you know, there's some hype around, you know, fourth round draft pick Benny Snell. We talked about this a little bit on the pet peeves type thing. The Steelers have always been, we're feeding this guy. The only way that Bell had gotten, or whoever may have been the starter, gotten some rest, was if there was like a kind of meaningless game that didn't impact the standings or their playoff, you know, positioning heading into the final week of the season. They haven't been one to use like a two-headed monster in the backfield. They had the opportunity when Bell and D'Angelo Williams were both there, but we saw what happened. Bell got hurt. Blount left, ran out of town. They were stuck with, I forget the guy's name. I should remember him, because he was the one that all of a sudden, that was the shots fired like a month or two ago about Ben Roethlisberger intentionally fumbling. And what was his name? Was it Josh? Josh something, I think. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
But they preferred to just go sign Ben Tate, who was terrible, off the street to play in that playoff game. And you saw how that blew up and they lost to the Ravens at home, because Ben Tate fumbled and then he missed the block, and he, you know, he wasn't prepared. And the other guy who was undrafted on the practice squad wasn't up to snuff to even get really any carries or reps in that game either. And it stunk. And everybody's like, man, here we go. The Steelers squandered an opportunity again with this great offense. Bell was out of there. Where was the plan B? Well, the plan B cried himself to a release, left the game early, left the locker room, and then cried his way back to New England. And then, you know, he's gotten a couple of Super Bowl rings, and, you know, you don't have to like the way he conducted his business, but it's worked out for that guy. But it didn't work out for the Steelers. They had that plan in place. They did the same thing with D'Angelo Williams. D'Angelo Williams gets hurt, and then they were with rolling with Jordan Todman and Fitzgerald Toussaint. We remember Fitzgerald Toussaint fumbling against the Denver Broncos in a divisional game, and that ultimately cost the Steelers. They were driving. They were down by like the 20-yard line or whatever. That probably would have put the game away. They would have been playing in the AFC title game. Then once again, you go to the next year, and they're in the AFC title game against the Patriots. They're finally fully loaded. You know, they didn't have Antonio Brown against the Broncos the previous year because he got knocked out by Vontaze Burfict, his new teammate in Oakland. And you had Bell was hurt for the year with the knee injury or whatever. That happened in the Bengals game too. I forget which of the knuckleheads there ended up hitting him and hit him low, hit him in the knee and tore up his knee. And then D'Angelo Williams gets hurt too. Or D'Angelo Williams may have had concussion deals too, or something of that nature, shoulder, whatever it was. I don't recall, but he was on the shelf, and you're rolling with the, you know, these two guys. They did all right when they played against the Bengals, but, you know, there's only so far you can go with that. And you see what ends up happening there. Then they end up having to bring D'Angelo Williams in, a little rusty, I think, because he was up there in age. What was he, like 33 or 34? You know, that was the number he wore in his jersey. I think it was the same as his age. And they used to make fun of his age. Remember Jordan Berry and I think Chris Boswell and a few other guys used to throw him birthday parties all the time at training camp.
Yep.
And throw all the balloons in his thing. So anyways, you go in the AFC title game, you think you're finally at full strength, and you end up losing your running back in the first quarter with whatever groin injury. And then the only time we really got to see it, you know, in full force, they end up dropping that game to Jacksonville, and they didn't have to worry about, you know, really playing James Conner. James Conner actually, I think, got banged up that rookie year. And so you see how it goes. There's always something that ends up happening. They have a plan B, and sometimes they have to go to a plan C. And I think that's where they're kind of set up this year with Connor Samuels and now the rookie Benny Snell.
Yeah, it's Josh Harris, by the way, was the Josh in question.
I'm going to bring some pro wrestling in here with The Rock. It doesn't matter who he is.
Exactly, because he's very forgettable.
Yes.
And, you know, the Steelers are, they have been a little bit snake bit with injuries to their running backs in the last few seasons, in the sense that they just don't seem to have the guys for the full term. And I will say, it is not because they tend to run the wheels off like they did to Willie Parker. This is not that same kind of offense. I mean, you know, last season they're like, what, 31 in the league in attempts, and an average attempts per game for rushing. They're not running the ball heavily. And on top of that, they are not, you know, just being a run-centric offense. They run to complement the pass. But, you know, part of that is necessity. Part of that is where your skill players were. Part of that is, you know, injuries. When Connor's dinged up, you're probably going to throw the ball more. I do expect them to run the ball a little bit more next season than they have in the past, and to utilize this trio of backs in a different way. I think Connor will be the main back. I don't think there's any question about that. If I want to take a hot take, I could say he will be the main back until he gets hurt. Not that I wish anything negative on James Connor, but he's gotten dinged the last two seasons, and he's a tough running back. He runs hard. He runs with power, and those guys can sometimes get nicked. So it won't surprise me to see James Conner miss a game or miss some time in a game with some kind of injury. I hope he doesn't. But even if he doesn't, I think he'll be the feature back. I think that they will use Jalen Samuels as an X-factor kind of guy. He'll be a third down type back. And I think Snell will initially make most of his contributions giving Connor a breather at times and being that short yardage power back. You know, you could see Benny Snell score 2-3 touchdowns next season just on short yardage, you know, goal line type touchdowns if he is capable, which all indications are that he's going to be. I think this is a good scenario for them with this trio of backs. You know, and I think if they manage them correctly, if they use them to their strengths, I think they can have a nice successful running game, which in turn will take some pressure off of Roethlisberger and the passing game, because it makes the opposing team play everything. You know, you can't focus on just the pass, you can't focus on just the run.
Yeah, and wow, where do I start with this? I don't know about, you know, wasn't the whole short yardage thing always kind of a headache when Bell was in the backfield? There was always this criticism of, you know, whether or not he could score, and, you know, the red zone and everything like that. I was kind of going through this, and I was looking at James Conner, who last year he had 12 rushing touchdowns. He had 5 games where he had 2 touchdowns. And Bell, in his last season in 2017, only had 2 such games with two touchdowns and only nine overall. So Connor already had 3 more additional, and I want to say that was by virtue of it wasn't the finesse running game. This is a guy who hits the hole real quick, so I don't know that necessarily the same opportunities there for like a Benny Snell. And I also want to say that when they found out what they had with Connor, that's where the nightmare Terrell Watson, kind of a guy who never lost a yard in the NFL, but, you know, they bring him in for the 1 yard short, you know, short gain type thing, and he'd get a carry here or there, that kind of disappeared, because Connor, you know, this wasn't the guy who was dancing around in the backfield like a, you know, like a Marcus Allen or something like that, his unique style. And you know, I digress here. I don't think that Bell ever had more than, let's see, if I go back to 2016, he only had 1 game with the 3 touchdowns. You know, that's because more or less he's not going to have those 5 games with 2 touchdowns like Connor, because he was banged up, hurt, missed some time. I'm clicking on the wrong thing here. I had it all prepared too, Brian. You go to 2015, he didn't have two touchdowns in any games there. You go to 2014, his second year in the league, the one where he actually played the full 16 game slate and then got hurt, right at the tail end there. And there you go. Just two games with two touchdowns. He went scoreless, actually, in 2014. This is actually quite surprising. Between week two, it took all the way. He scored in the opening game, right, against the Browns that year. And you go all the way to week 11 before he had another rushing touchdown. And, I mean, it's hard to believe some of these things now, because you're going on memory. And then you go to 2013 and, you got the late start. That was the 0-4 debacle to begin that season. And you think, okay, well, Bell, he was looking at himself to be a wide receiver too. James Conner coming out of college, not necessarily known as a guy with the hands, catch the ball, receiver type, out of the backfield. Well, they go and they draft Jalen Samuels, who is kind of an H-back. They weren't sure if, a lot of teams weren't sure what this guy is because of his size, his stature. He was an offensive weapon at NC State. He scored a lot of touchdowns. It's all he basically knows how to do. But he's a guy who can catch out of the backfield. And the thought process there is okay, this is going back to Willie Parker, Mwelde Moore, and even Rashard Mendenhall to some degree when he was first getting started and Mwelde Moore was still around. Mwelde Moore was what was known before there was running back by committee. There was always like a specialist that was a third down back. It was a third and long type of running back who was capable of pitching in and blocking, but could also escape out of the backfield, catch a pass, and maybe sneak over, if it's like 6 yards, get a 7 yard gain and get a first down. That was like all through. I remember growing up with that, in the 90s. In the 2000s, and even in, even earlier this decade, third down back was a thing. Now you don't really have bell cows on a lot of teams. You have a lot of teams that utilize multiple running backs, and we're going to see here whether or not the Steelers would do that. But my point is when you went to camp last year and you saw James Conner and you're wondering if he came back from this knee injury, and he looked amazing. Then it looked like he had the softest hands in the world. Like they had glue on his gloves, and he's catching balls. And he caught 55 passes last year for 497, which is a tremendous, tremendous feat. When, I know Bell was up there catching like 80 some balls or whatever, but Bell was there when Martavis Bryant is suspended or not around, and there's not another guy other than Antonio Brown to catch passes. Juju Smith-Schuster was out there now. So Bell had to be a guy in a lot of cases that they split him out. Okay, they split him out. Conner, maybe not so much. Jalen Samuels, all the time practically. So just even in his rookie year when he got to see the field. So, I mean, okay, Bell, 45 passes as a rookie, 13 games. The 16 game season he had his second year, he caught 83 passes. And then it went down to 24 in 6 games, 75 over 12 games, and then 85 in 2017. So just to give this some perspective, as a first-year starter, James Conner caught more passes than Bell was in his first year as a first-year starter. And guess what, folks? They played the same amount of games. And, one receiving touchdown to no receiving touchdowns with Bell. And Conner also got more yards per reception, 497. He was catching 904 per pass as opposed to 8.9 and 399 overall by Bell. Those are some numbers that really make you think, okay, we've completely moved on from this. You feel kind of safe and secure unless something were to happen to Conner, which we also got to see last year.
Yeah, I will say that, when I said I think that Snell gets his opportunities as a short yard back, that part of that is under the assumption that, it's because Conner may have been dinged up and hurt. Because here's the truth of the matter is, Conner scored 10 red zone touchdowns last year. 10.
Yeah.
That's a lot of 10. And converted 15 first downs on short yard gains inside the red zone. This is a guy who, again, as you were talking about, we talked about how surprising his hands appeared to be in training camp last year and how we were really kind of shocked that his pass catching was as nice as it was. It was not. I mean, he doesn't run routes the way Le'Veon Bell run routes. Okay, he cannot pretend to be, you know, an extra receiver on the field. That's not his strength. That's okay though, because when he, you know, most of the passes that Bell was catching when he was there anyway were dump offs. He wasn't catching a lot of routes that he's running long down the field. He's catching dump off passes. Same thing Connor was doing, and he was very effective doing it. It's when you've got a guy who's productive, and doing good things, it's hard to take him off the field. And Connor was like that. I think, you know, the flip side of this is, you know, Connor had 5 100-yard games last year, two of them against the Browns.
Yeah.
He had 110 on Atlanta, 111 with Cincinnati, 107 in Baltimore, and then the two big games, 146 and 135 against Cleveland. But to flip the flip side that, he had a 17-yard game, a 19-yard game, a 25-yard game against tougher teams, or teams where we were going to throw the ball a lot, like with Kansas City, where we just got into a passing game because we fell behind so quickly. So it's kind of feast or famine, but, you know, I think even in the games where he was limited in his rushing attempts, he still ended up contributing because his receiving helped pick that up. When he only had 17 yards, he had 48 yards in receptions. 19 yards, he had another 25. The 25-yard game, he had another 24. So he's still effective on the field. I think that makes it tough to take Connor off the field. And as you got later in the season, that's when he started to get dinged up. You know, he only had a limited number of attempts. But any game where he had, I think, what, 20 attempts at least?
Yes, that was always our magic number. Yeah, that was always our magic number. When we were making our bold predictions, it's like, feed this guy the ball 20 touches.
20 touches and 100 yards. It's what it is.
And it's 100 from scrimmage. Regardless,
yes.
But 20 touches and it's like the Steelers win. And I think that's one of the things. But Randy Fichtner also, you know, he's come out and said he feels like a short pass or a screen pass is a running play. And I don't necessarily disagree with them. They're looking at shorter intermediate, but it is a little bit different of a philosophy here in certain circumstances. And there's still like the mechanics of the quarterback has to deliver the ball via a pass and someone has to catch it and all these other things. So, you know, I don't necessarily love that kind of idea. You know, you were saying something about Snell too, and it's like, I get it. Snell is like one of these guys you bring in, he's a bruising type back and he's going to wear people down. And it's giving a lot of people the warm and fuzzies of a Jerome Bettis type guy. But even when Jerome Bettis, toward the end of his career, Jerome Bettis is, you know, unmatched. It's like when you talk about certain players in Steelers lore, they're irreplaceable. And there's never going to be another Jerome Bettis. He dragged people. He ran over. Who was it? Urlacher was one of the famous ones.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like he would break your face mask. And maybe Benny Snell has that type of potential. He definitely scores a lot. He's another touchdown maker. I mean, his 3 years in Kentucky, okay, he averaged 5.3 yards for his entire college career, 3,873 yards. Last season was 1,449, 5 per carry, 16 touchdowns, 48 overall. But he's only caught 29 balls in college, 17 last year for 105 total. I mean, you're looking at maybe 1 or 1.5 average per game. That's just maybe not Kentucky's type of deal with their offense. We'd have to ask Ryan Lippard, who's, you know, one of our contributors on the show. He's a big Kentucky fan. But you're also looking
Yeehaw.
At – yeah. I don't think that's Texas, man. Come on.
I don't know. It's horses. There are horses in Kentucky. It's the same thing.
I had to back off on making fun of Cincinnati and calling it Northern Kentucky ever since Ryan has joined the crew maybe about a year and a half ago now. And I feel bad. It was just like a bad joke because Kentucky doesn't want Cincinnati either. But anyways, you know, he makes the point of, you know, even though Kentucky doesn't seem like it's like, okay, it's Kentucky when, they're known for basketball, but they play in the SEC. They're not playing, you know, chump change defenses here. So, I mean, I get the hype, I get the excitement. I'm just trying to temper the expectations based on you have Connor. You have Connor, who was a guy in October. He was named the AFC Offensive Player of the Month. And let me see. He had, in the month of October, 367 rushing yards and 6 rushing touchdowns, and then another 159 receiving yards. I mean, he was just a monster among men. And the other thing is with the Steelers, okay, so you know how many games they actually played in the month of October? 3. They played 3. They didn't play 4 games in October. They played 3 games, and he gets named as the, you know, the player of the month, just because he just smashed everyone. And then it slowed down a little bit, and maybe they could use somebody else to spell him. I just think, you know, having these expectations on a rookie, I thought we might have saw Jalen Samuels a lot more than we actually did, just to kind of start out, because you know what, Jalen Samuels. He ran for, you know, he didn't run for as many yards, but from scrimmage, you know, he had like 3,000 yards and 47 touchdowns in 4 years at NC State. And I thought, you know, for the same reasons, you know, is Connor going to be the guy that they're going to actually, you know, use in the pass game, or are they going to try and replace Le'Veon Bell and split Samuels out? And they did. Samuels eventually got out there on the field, and I think that's the thing is the eventually. Now, Snell doesn't have the same type of thing as Samuels did. Samuels was only looking at Connor in front of him. Steven really got some carries last year, but after his fumbling woes, he was yanked. Stage right, the cane or whatever came out off the side of the curtain and just pulled him off, just like the old school Looney Tunes. And then that's when Samuels basically saw his opportunity. But Snell, as far as having opportunities for touches, has to compete with Connor and Samuels. And I think Samuels is a year two player. I think we're going to see more of him. I don't think we're going to see a lot of him, but I think we will see at least some more. And of course, he got the 3 games where he started, and that's really where he came in. His attempts before that, Brian, 4 against the Browns, 5 against the Panthers. That was the blowout game right there. They blew out Cleveland too. Let's at home anyways. And then he got into the Chargers game because that's the game where Connor got hurt. So between those 3 games and then a 4th game with the Ravens. So we're looking at a total of, let me see how many games here. This is going to crunch it in here. 6 games he had just 12 attempts. And it wasn't necessarily the prettiest either, because it was only 31 yards. And then just 9 targets in the passing game, caught 7 of them for 54, and the 2 touchdowns. I believe the first touchdown, if I'm looking at this, my memory serves me correct. How about that? The first touchdown was the Panthers game, and then another one in the Chargers. Then he came out, and it was like one of these things, 11 carries, 28 yards, not too great. That Raiders stink fest out in Oakland. Came back against the Patriots and looked, you know, every bit as Mr. Touchdown as you would imagine him to be. The only thing is he didn't get a rushing touchdown over the course of the season, did Jalen Samuels, but he had 3 receiving. But anyways, 19 carries, 142 yards, mammoth monster game against the Patriots. The next week it was 12 for 53 in what was a shootout against the Saints, and then he didn't really see the field. We had Connor back, you know, in the final week there too. So it was just, you know, the what if is, you know, if Connor doesn't get hurt, can you use Jalen Samuels as like a, oh, what do you want to say? He's all purpose, but can you use him every down? Or do you have to go back to where you had Willie Parker and you had Mwelde Moore? And I think that's what happens if Connor's off the field. I just don't know that the Steelers are going to go in a direction like the Atlanta Falcons had Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman. And then they, what was that? Ito Smith, I think, that ended up coming in when one of those guys was hurt as well. Or you had the Patriots, who have like James White and Rex Burkhead and Sony Michel. And even to that degree, the Patriots running back by committee thing is partially myth. Because if you remember some of their early, you know, the early Brady years, you had guys, what, you had like Corey Dillon that came over from the Bengals, or Curtis Martin that played for him. And those guys, they carried the whole load. I understand the NFL has changed a little bit, and you don't some teams don't put as much money into the running back position. The Steelers certainly don't right now, because everyone's on a rookie contract. But, you know, you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, and we talked about Blunt and Darren Sproles, and they went and traded and they got Jay Ajayi at one point, and then last year they were really banged up. That didn't work for them. But for the Super Bowl year, that worked out. To get into the Super Bowl, it worked out for the Falcons. In the last 2 years, definitely it's worked out for the Patriots. But I also think because Sony Michel, their rookie, was a little dinged, that's the reason you saw some more opportunities. James White, obviously, is a Jalen Samuels has the opportunity to be the receiving threat that James White is in New England, and I think they could be some type of split there. I just think the expectation for Benny Snell as a rookie just has to kind of have to lower the bar a little bit on that, because I don't know that he gets on the field in week one. I don't know he gets on the field in October. You get out past the bye week and the guy's showing a lot in practice or something like that. Maybe this is when you get into, you know, you're starting to get into cold weather football where you want to pound the football, and maybe you decide, okay, we've had some bad luck where Connor and some of these other guys get worn down. Let's keep these guys fresh. It's like keeping Jerome Bettis fresh. It's like using Mwelde Moore and Rashard Mendenhall and, you know, Willie Parker and whatever combination that they had. It's not outside the realm of thinking Mike Tomlin's done this before. The organization as a whole has done this before. Maybe Benny Snell gets on the field, but I think some people are going to be disappointed because I don't see him getting on the field right away.
No, you know, it brings to mind the old Smith Barney ads with John Houseman. The only way that Benny Snell is getting a lot of touches is he has to earn them. And by earning them, essentially, I mean, he has got to, throughout the preseason, not put up 100-yard games, hundreds of yards. He has to make it so that they cannot not use him. While I love this Benny Snell pick, I love the kid, I think he's going to be a benefit to the team, I don't think that's going to happen early on. And I hope I'm pleasantly surprised. It would be the only way this becomes a running back by committee or a true two running back system, kind of how maybe the Bengals were with Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy, whatever his name was, Jeremy Hill, where they would, you know, split series, is if Snell has made himself so obviously a benefit to the team that they cannot, they can't deny him carries. And if that happens, that's a great situation for the Steelers to be in the sense that you now have two guys that you can help carry the workload. But I think anybody expecting that to happen from the get-go, like you said, I think they're whistling Daisy or whistling in through the graveyard or something. I don't know what the saying is appropriate, but it's probably not going to happen. It's a pipe dream. It's a pipe dream.
I don't know. My mom always says things wrong. I mean, she can't even say Game of Thrones. She called it Game of Thorns earlier today, and I'm like, you know, I never heard of that show before, Mom. And she used to say Whistling Dixie, which that might be right, too. I really don't know.
That might be okay.
Someone will drop in the comments and they'll tell us, and then we'll have to look up the whole origin of it and just hope it's not awful in any way that we mention it. So I have a feeling it's a wartime thing, if anything. It's Revolutionary War. I would have to look this up. I really don't know, and I really don't know why I'm talking about it. But anyway, Snell was the 10th running back taken this year. I don't think that that doesn't disparage him at all. That's not a knock. He's in the NFL. James Conner was the 8th guy taken a couple years ago, 2017 draft, 8th overall running back in that draft. Yeah. So, and then even within that draft, you had like what, Alvin Kamara or whatever was like the 5th or 6th guy. Oh, there's a good example too, the Saints. You know, they had a thunder and lightning thing going there, but it was like, you know, okay, Kamara wasn't out there initially, and they were still trying to, you know, patchwork some things like Cadet and they tried CJ Spiller there too and a few things too. They tried to, you know, rotate a little more, but it was primarily Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara that you would remember over the last 2 years, and Kamara was just so dynamic. How can you keep him off the field? And Andy Reid's done this before too, you know, Spencer Ware and Charcandrick West and a few players like that as well, where he's rotating some of these backs. I don't know what the Steelers end up doing, but I do know what they have done. And just to kind of support this is, unless Le'Veon Bell when Le'Veon Bell was healthy, and there were some really bad examples here too, because you got some Michael Vick games in here for D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah.
But I mean, D'Angelo Williams, you know, he came out in 2015, started 21 attempts, 127 yards, and then 20 for 77. And then, you know, he started, but he was on the bench for Bell. So he got one carry, two carries, five carries, one carry. And of course, some of these I'm talking about are like Baltimore, San Diego, Arizona. These were the Michael Vick dark days there, the dark ages. So, oh man, I wanted Michael Vick to be so good, but it was just so obvious that he was not a fit for what the Steelers were doing, and being a lefty. And when you have Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant, you couldn't get it done. Enough said. So, Just the sad truth of that. And then, he ends up starting to play again because Bell gets hurt, and then that's where all the lion's share of carries come. Plays against the Raiders, 27 carries, 170 yards, 2 touchdowns. He has a 2-touchdown game against the Bengals. He racks up another 134 on the Colts, has another 100-yard game against the Ravens. Okay, that's 2015. Everybody's going into 2016. Wow, the Steelers have two phenomenal running backs. What will they do? Oh, Bell is out again to start the season. So now you have to lean on D'Angelo Williams. And D'Angelo Williams tears it up in week one. I believe he was the AFC player of the week, too, against the Redskins with 26 for 143. Cincinnati Bengals, he plays against them, nearly gets 100. 32 for 94, slugfest there. And, oh, he scored 2 touchdowns, of course, in the first game against the Redskins. He gets a receiving touchdown against the Bengals, which is pretty memorable. I mean, he was catching 6 passes for 28, 4 for 38. Then there was the Eagles debacle, which was a bad game. And this is what jogged my memory with D'Angelo specifically, because he was the full-time starter still in week three of that year. That really bad, the worst road loss in ages, decades with the Steelers, 34-3 at Philadelphia. He carries the ball only 8 times. They abandon the run. They throw the ball to him, 4 times for 23 yards, but they abandon the run 21 yards. That's all the more he got. Bell's back, 4 carries, 1 carry, 3 carries, 1 carry. That goes through week 8. Then he's a little banged up. Then he's on the bench and he does not see the ball whatsoever. And he gets the start to play against the Browns in the final week of that season. I think that's the Landry Goat, one of the Landry Goat games. And yeah. 23 carries, 67 yards, a touchdown, some tough sledding there. But he was back. They had to lean on him in the AFC title game, of course, because Bell ran all over the Miami Dolphins. And that's the only reason he got 2 carries in the playoffs. Did not see a carry against the Chiefs. Comes in, carries the ball 14 times against the Patriots, and then that's the closing on his storybook career, a great NFL career at that. But the reason I point out all of these numbers, and it kind of make your head spin when you try and collectively put it all together, it just shows you that no other guy was touching the ball even when D'Angelo Williams was in there. It's whoever the guy is, that's the guy, unless the Steelers are walloping someone and then they may pull the running back out. They may pull the top wide receiver out. They never pull Ben out, which I know is a major criticism. It happened last season finally, I believe. Maybe Randy Fichter may be in Ben's head enough to say, hey, step off the field, let Josh Dobbs take a couple snaps, or at least the victory formation at least. So it doesn't happen. The running back, the primary running back, doesn't come off the field. Now, that's not to say I'm against seeing Benny Snell or Jalen Samuels out there, because I'm not. I would love to see what this trio of backs can do, provided the one big thing, Brian, is that they're not a liability. They're not a liability in pass protection. They're not a liability as far as ball protection and turning the ball over. If all three of these men have the goods, I wouldn't mind seeing them. I just think there's a little bit here with James Conner. He was already the favorite son of Pittsburgh, the entire city, having played his college career there, having beat cancer and everything. And, just a wonderful story. And also, he hurt his knee pretty bad at Pitt the 1 year too. And he still just keeps coming back and coming back and being a great story. I just kind of want to preserve his career a little bit, because I don't want to be thinking about if something happens in the middle of the season, like a week 8 or week 9. I forget where the bye is this year, week 7 maybe. But I don't want to see something happen with Connor where you don't have him for an extended period of time, because this looks like a pretty stacked schedule on paper this season. And, just like last season, every game is vital. Every victory is important. And they let a few of those kind of get away, either abandoning the run or maybe not having Connor full strength. I mean, even that Chargers game, I think if he's still healthy there and doesn't get hurt, I think he ends up scoring on the play. He ends up getting hurt. So, I think it's kind of a fluke that happened there too. So, as much as I like having the number one type guy, you don't have What do the Cowboys do if Ezekiel Elliott's out? Or what do the Rams do without Todd Gurley? Well, we saw what they did without Todd Gurley. They still have somebody they can plug and play, and you got to believe in the offensive line. They had C.J. Anderson, who, you know, kind of wasn't doing anything, kind of languishing for the last couple of years. So that's a possibility. I don't want to have to rely on it. I would like to see just a little bit of a rotation, so I don't want everybody to just flame me and be like, ugh. I just want the expectation to not be there to see Snell maybe right out the gate. I think when we do see him, I think we're going to like him, but I think it's going to take a few years in order for that to kind of marinate and become part of the overall game plan for the Steelers.
Yeah, if it even does. I mean, as much as I like Benny Snell, I don't know the answer. I mean, we've had comments are like Benny Snell's going to be the starter. I just don't see it. I think, you know, this is James Conner was a Pro Bowl player last year, and you just don't come in and suddenly take a Pro Bowl player's spot. If James Conner falls off of a bridge, you know, in speaking his abilities, if he finally hits a wall and he's being outperformed, well, yeah, you got to go with the guy who's performing. But until that happens, we're going to see exactly what you said. We're going to see the primary running back and then little teeny tiny snippets of other guys just as, you know, if he needs a breather. And you brought up a very good point, because one of the big concerns last year with James Conner was whether his pass protection will have improved, because Le'Veon Bell was really good at picking up blitzes and doing his responsibilities in pass protection. But James Conner improved dramatically in that second year. Jalen Samuels, there was concerns with the way he was going to be able, and they helped him out a lot in the games he had to play. So, you know, that will always be the question when your starting running back goes out, is how well is his backup going to pick up things? And you've got two young guys now.
Yep.
So the question is, will they have the ability to pick all that stuff up and continue to contribute as well as, you know, learn on the go? And it is a transition. There's just no getting around it. Going from college to the pros is a transition. It is going to take them a little bit of time to adjust. And I don't know. You know, there's a part of me, like you said, there's a part of me that says, I just want to see James Conner play 16 games and break 1,400 yards. That's all. I don't care. The rest of the running backs, I'm glad you're there. I just want to see James Conner do well. And there's another part of me that says, maybe we could have a dynamic duo, and between the two of them, we get 1,800 yards rushing. You know, but I think that's, like I said, I think that's a pipe dream. I hope Benny Snell, you know, causes us all to have seizures during the preseason and go, holy moly, what the heck is going on here? Because we know Conner's not going to get a ton of work. The starters do not get a ton of work in preseason. So Conner's not going to get a ton of work, which means Jalen Samuels and Benny Snell are going to get a lot of work in the preseason. And if they shine and you know, make it hard for them to be kept off the field, who knows? But that's, you know, you got to be realistic in your expectations and say that's not likely to happen. If it does, great. But probably – And this isn't a bad probably. Probably you're going to have James Conner, and that's a good thing.
Well, you know, that's the only other thing I could say with Benny Snell, and even to a degree, you know, Jalen Samuels. I think one of the things is, if you were just going in again and you had Stephen Ridley there, you have some cause for concern. I think Benny Snell gives everyone a little bit of insurance, and they could sleep better at night knowing that the depth chart looks like the way it does. Now, I understand there's still some other backs that are coming to camp and everything like that, but with the draft pedigree and the experience and with what's working here, we really only see three running backs again on this roster, and then a fullback more than likely with Roosevelt Nix.
And
Rosie, you know, a year removed from being a Pro Bowler too, and that's when you could really impose your will on everyone. And now we know it was just an accident. I think Ben saw, you know, a black and gold uniform that one game. I forget which game. It was against Baltimore. And
the Ravens, yeah.
Yeah, he threw a pass to him. Now Rosie's actually used in the passing game here or there too. So I don't want to, you know, overlook him, because he's definitely even though fullbacks aren't used so much, and you know, he may see 5 to 10 snaps in a game, all those snaps are important, and you know, he does his job very well also. So when you look at those four, I could sleep well at night knowing, versus, you know, the last few seasons, it's like, okay, you felt good when there was Bell and then you had Connor, but then Connor got hurt. And then it was only Bell, and it was like, uh-oh, now what happens if something happened? And luckily, we didn't have to find that out, but also it was, you know, the way that season ended wasn't so hot either. I just wanted to bring up something real quick, too, because, you know, the Patriots are the ones that, you know, are always like this gold standard or whatever. When you look at Sony Michel, overwhelmingly led in carries last year for their team, but they only threw the ball at him 11 times. You have a guy that's in there for 209 attempts, yeah. 931 yards, appears in 13 games, wasn't there week one, and then he missed a few weeks in the middle there where, you know, Rex Burkhead was kind of the guy. So week one, Rex Burkhead gets like 18 carries. Week two, he gets 6, 0, 7, 4, 4, 13, because that was another week that there was no Sony Michel, and then 5, and Rex Burkhead was actually supplemented by Cordarrelle Patterson, who's a wide receiver that they started putting in the backfield, doing a little trickeration there. James White, however, was thrown at 123 times, 87 receptions, 751 yards, 7 touchdowns. Just goes to show you how good Connor is as far as the yardage that he was getting on almost half as many, you know, receptions. And then, you know, White, obviously not maybe the best runner either, still puts up touchdowns, all-purpose player, capable where necessary, but not a 100-yard guy, not a guy that's used to getting even double-digit carries. That's only happened, you know, twice last season, and if I had to go over his career, probably not very often before that either. You go back even a year earlier, and he only had one game with 10 carries, no game with more than 10 carries, and actually very few games where he had more than 5, 3 games with 5, and no more than that. So, you know, they're using a multi-back approach. This could be something we could see from the Steelers. I just kind of wanted to show, because somebody will inevitably say, you know, this is the dynasty, this is the team winning Super Bowls, they match the Steelers with 6 championships now, and this is the kind of the blueprint. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way, because James Conner is a guy that can do both. Sony Michel is not being relied on to, they don't throw the ball at him. Why? They don't think they trust to throw the ball at him. James White carries the ball a little bit. Jalen Samuels can carry the ball a little bit, but they throw the ball more at Jalen Samuels, at James White. So that's where the comparisons pretty much lie if you want to make comparisons to any other team. I think Alvin Kamara might be a good comparison for James Conner too, because he's such a weapon that can do it all, and I don't see how you take him off the field. But sometimes, you know what, they would bring in Mark Ingram and pound the ball. I think you got to look at that. Maybe that's where Benny Snell ends up. So just some food for thought, folks. I mean, we're talking about this in May. We're going to get into training camp. We're going to see what teams these guys run with. Usually the rookies at the bottom of the, you know, food chain, and then they got to kind of work their way up into things. So you would kind of expect Connor to be the one, Samuels to maybe be the two. Be interesting to see if Samuels is even used as a regular traditional halfback, or if they split him out a lot as you go through the different practices and stuff too. So definitely interesting to see. Brian, thanks once again for joining me, and any final thoughts for our listeners?
Just want to thank everybody for the support. And, you know, I'm sorry if we get on somebody's nuts too much.
The Steven Nelson hive. Hey, you know what? I'm hot. I don't know how you can't be, you know, and here I am, you know, talking about this and then trying to downplay Benny Snell. Look, I love the Benny Snell pick too. I try to temper some expectations when it comes to players, but when you bring in a guy like Steven Nelson versus what they've had in the past, let's just say we were back in you know, the ages of, oh, I don't know what you were trying to, Baron Batch and who else was in the backfield. I mean, Ike Redman got hurt. So, I mean, it was a bad year, whatever the backs were in that backfield. If you got Benny Snell that year, I'd have the same kind of Hive going right now. So it's not that I'd, you know, when we talk about Hive, for anybody that's like, you know, 19 or older, I guess, we're making fun of Zach and Zach and his slang, not Professor Zach, but Flash Zach, who has never been on the show, but maybe we should have him on just to hear how he actually interacts. We'll probably like lose half of our listeners. But, you know, he talks.
He's scared. I think he's scared. He's scared to come on.
We try to be hip and reach the young audience too by using words like lit and Hive. But anytime we talk about Hive, it means we are definitely a fan club and we're probably, you know, on really on someone as we've been accused of. But there's no reason to not like somebody who has the work ethic of a Steven Nelson. There's no reason to not like somebody who has the work ethic of a James Conner. That's why his jersey sold so much. So, you know, we're very.
I just want to emphasize that we like Steven Nelson in comparison to what we had.
Yes. I'm not,
you know, we're not saying he's a top five corner in the league. So that's great. I just want to address that because I think it's important to understand that, you know, I don't understand. I'm still confused. I need that guy to comment again and explain to me. How saying he's better than Artie Burns is being on whatever.
But even the Pro Football Focus rankings, Nelson was ranked higher than Hilton or Hayden, and we're just looking for somebody to be a top 50 corner to compliment Joe Hayden. So we're very excited about
it.
I'm sorry, we're excited, but the defense might not suck. So I mean, what else can you say about it? I mean, I'm sure they're excited too. So I mean, it's a big free agent pickup. Yeah, Devin Bush. The defense looks or not, but you know. The future looks bright. The future looks bright for the running backs, too. So, and definitely, thank you for the support, folks. Once again, if you're looking to listen to this show anywhere, if you happen to arrive at YouTube, don't forget to subscribe. I believe you could do that at some other places, Apple Podcasts and things of that nature. Definitely, this is a lot of fun, even in the off season to talk. So, don't forget if you have some questions for us, shoot us an email at the fanmail at steelcityunderground.com. Don't forget about us on social media. The website also has some supplements, and it has some other contributors you don't hear from here on the program that have a lot of good research and a lot of stuff that goes into the daily feature over on the website at steelcityunderground.com as well. So once again,
absolutely. And
yeah, go ahead.
I want to say one more thing, because we talked about this. If there's something you guys, the listeners, if it's a non-football thing and you want our take on it, let us know. Put it in the comments. We got some time. We got a little bit of time, and we're not going anywhere. So we'll talk about whatever you want us to.
I mean, yeah, and it's amazing we even go an hour talking about running backs when there's like, you know, just a handful of them. So this will be interesting going forward. But yeah, we're going to have some, you know, dead time here. The June is always the worst. So, you know, we try and fill that with some different things here as well. So appreciate everyone out there listening, new or returning listener. Thank you once again for making us the most popular Pittsburgh Steelers podcast on the internet. Until next time, my name is Joe. His name's Brian. We encourage everyone to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.